There were a significant number of students this year who would not have met 95 percentile in terms, you know, making a projection from one to the other. And what we're now looking at is where we think we'll need additional programs and where we'll probably have to downsize programs.
That was New York City Schools Chancellor Joel Klein. Gifted and talented programs in the public schools are supposed to be for kids who are, well, gifted and talented. And the New York City Education Department under Chancellor Klein now wants to make sure that that's really who gets into these coveted slots, not just upper middle class kids, disproportionately white, whose parents have connections. That's the thinking behind this new proposal that he was just describing, to limit gifted and talented admission only to those children who score in the 95th percentile or the top 5% on a gifted and talented standardized test. But is a single high-stakes test for four-year-olds, no less, in the case of kindergarten, is that the best way to go? And will it really include more minority kids? Let's look at this proposal with Elizabeth Green, a reporter for the New York Sun covering the story, and Robin Arano, psychotherapist and educational consultant and founder of School Search NYC, which advises families on both public and private schools. Robin, welcome back. Elizabeth, good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to WNYC. Elizabeth, what's the current system for admission to gifted and talented programs?
The current system is every child takes two tests, and then within each district, admissions vary. So they have a certain number of spots. Parents apply to those programs, and if they have enough spots for you, they just go down the list in terms of order of scores. So potentially someone well below 95th percentile could get into a program today.
So it's determined, admission is determined by what? A more personal judgment, more subjective measures than the chancellor is proposing?
Well, first of all, there's a different test right now that they used last year than he's proposing to be used this year, which is more, I guess he says, more subjective, and that was a complaint about the test. It's given by a teacher about the student
actually,
based on observation.
Robin,
if
Arano,
I can interrupt
yes,
for a second,
please.
It was not a test that was administered. It was a questionnaire called the Gifted Rating Scale that was sent to all the nursery pre-K teachers last year.
What's the difference? In other words, the child doesn't do anything. The,
right.
The nursery
the
school
test
teacher
that's
rates
remaining
the child.
Constant is the OLSAT, the Otis Lenning School Ability Test, that was given last year, and they're proposing it again for this year. But last year they used a second measure, was called the Gifted Rating Scale. And it was a questionnaire that tapped into five different categories of giftedness, and the teachers were asked to answer 12 questions under each of those categories. They had to rate the students from 1 to 9 on those different questions.
So the New York Times article on this today says Mr. Klein's overhaul of elementary school gifted programs also includes a new test to identify the gifted, the Bracken School Readiness Assessment, which gauges students' understanding of colors, letters, numbers, sizes, comparisons, and shapes. So is that a test that's administered to the kids?
That will be administered to the kids at the same time. I believe this year that the OLSAT will be administered as well. I believe that starting next year, they will be giving the children the BSRA first, and if they do well enough on that, then they'll continue with the OLSAT.
Right. So, Elizabeth, at what ages can kids be tested and placed into G&T programs? Are we talking all about pre-K here?
It's for kindergarten and first grade programs, and then they go through elementary school.
And why does the chancellor think this would be more equitable than the current system?
I mean, first of all, starting next year, he wants to test every single kindergartner in the whole city, whereas now only 16% of kids are applying to programs.
Huh. So it's only the kids whose families choose to have them apply.
Right.
Whereas this way he wants to test every kindergarten child to see if maybe unbeknownst to their own parents, they are gifted and talented according to these tests and maybe placed in first grade. Is that
it? I mean, it's also possible that some parents think their kids are gifted and talented but just didn't know how to get them tested, didn't know what the deadline was.
How to work the system.
How to work this, right.
Robin, even that this category exists, right?
Mm-hmm. Correct. So, I mean, to me, that's a very positive part of what they're proposing, is making sure that they identify children whose parents might not be savvy enough or understand gifted and talented enough, and to have the input of, you know, how they're actually doing in the school system.
Do you like this overall, Robin?
I like the direction in which it's going. I like the fact that they have decided that there should be a cutoff for gifted and talented. As was said last year, there was no cutoff for gifted and talented. If you happen to have applied and you happen to have picked a program that was less popular, there was, hypothetically, you could have ended up in a gifted and talented program. So I like the fact that they picked some cutoff to deal with.
Who is likely to get locked out of gifted and talented classes under this proposal? Who would have gotten in before, Robin?
It's really hard to say. I don't know enough about this Bracken School Readiness Assessment. From the little bit I've heard, it sounds like it should be a fairly easy measure for most of the kids who would have gotten into gifted and talented in the past, but I don't really know. It's going to be counting for 25%. Way back in the days before the procedure we just told you about, it was a district-by-district policy. And up in District 3, and if you saw the statistics from yesterday, more than 60% of eligible kids apply for gifted talented in District 3.
That's the Upper West Side.
Right, the Upper West Side, so that's a whole other topic. But back in the old days, if they used IQ testing, and if a child scored above the 91st percentile, they were considered eligible for a gifted and talented program. I don't know how this combination of ULSAT, BSRA compares to an IQ test. Neither of them is an IQ test.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really hard to say who's going to do well on these two measures and who isn't. I can tell you that last year I did a sort of informal study among the parents who I work with, and about 50% of kids who did well on IQ testing, they were applying either to Hunter or to the private schools, also did well on the ULSAT. But about 50% didn't.
I want to open up the phones for about 10 minutes for parents, teachers, anyone else reacting to or with questions about the new way to measure gifted and talented students being proposed for the New York City Public Schools. Give us a call, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692, as we continue with Robin Arano, a psychotherapist and educational consultant who advises families on both public and private schools, with her organization School Search NYC, and Elizabeth Green, a reporter for the New York Sun, covering the schools. Elizabeth, don't Black and Latino kids generally perform less well on standardized tests, and their giftedness is better measured in other ways? In other words, isn't there a chance that in the name of inclusiveness, this might actually become less inclusive?
I mean, I guess there is a chance. That's certainly not the hope. This Bracken test is, like Robin said, of colors and shapes, and it seems pretty basic from what I understand. So, you know, I think there will be kids who get in who were not included before. But you're right, there's a possibility.
Robin, what about that?
Well, you know, I'm not sure. On one hand, I feel like the Bracken School Readiness taps into things that lower-income families, and I don't know that it's necessarily an ethnic issue, as, you know, possibly more a socioeconomic one.
Right, but that gets reflected.
I don't know whether they've had the same access to those basic skills that, you know, middle-class families have.
I should say, though, that Chancellor Klein said this test is more objective. He wants to use the Bracken test because he thinks that it could lead to a more inclusive population.
So I'm still not sure, though, Robin, how much this will be a single high-stakes test, or how much personal assessment of a child's giftedness by human beings can enter into the decision. Are you?
It isn't. This is based purely on a composite score. 75% of the score comes from how they do on the ULSAT test, and 25% comes from how they do on the Bracken School Readiness
right.
Assessment.
Right, so two tests,
right,
but
right.
Zero
personal
assessment.
And there's no other input. There will be no other input from anybody else in terms of district placements.
So
now, there is one other level, which is the citywide assessments. And those are for the schools Anderson, Ness Plus M, and TAG, where the child has to score at least the 97th percentile to even be invited back for an on-site evaluation. At that point, there will be more input that's coming in terms of those placements.
So
You mean more subjective based on observations?
Correct.
Jay in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Jay.
Hi. My son took the test when he was in pre-K, so this is last year. And he, I don't want to brag, but he really is gifted and talented. And they sent us sample questions about a week before, and the test, they were miniaturized and so fuzzy you couldn't even see anything, and you had to check the box. And then he had to take the test at like 8 o'clock in the morning. This is a kid who is was basically around maybe 3.5, 4 years old, because his birthday is December, so he was the youngest of the group, and they said they weighted it, but this is a kid who'd never taken any kind of test before, and he got like 7 out of 45. Now he's in kindergarten, and he's still the youngest, and the teacher is amazed that he can sound out words and do all sorts of stuff, and I'm really happy he's in Park Slope. He's in a really good school, and it worked out fine, but it just shows me how ridiculous these tests are for certain kids.
So, Elizabeth, you know that there are going to be a million parents with questions like this if their kids do poorly on these tests.
How will
the system handle them?
I think it's going to be a big challenge. I think changing the gifted and talented system again, it was first changed 2 years ago, now it's being changed again, it's going to create a lot of confusion. They're even delaying the process a whole month just to get feedback from parents. It's possible they could listen to the feedback and say, okay, we'll change the cutoff. Mm-hmm. From 95%.
Yeah, well, it won't be 7 out of 45, that's for sure. But so,
Robin,
do your job and advise Jay. Be Jay's personal consultant here for the next 60 seconds on what to do next with his smart kid who didn't qualify by these standardized measures.
Right. I think, he has the opportunity to apply again this year. His son will have had a little experience with the test. What he's talking about is the ULSAT test, which is a verbally administered but a nonverbal test in that kids look at pictures and have to choose either what picture doesn't belong or picture analogies or some basic mathematical concepts in picture form. And I think that it does not tap into the giftedness quality of being very verbal, which is highly rated when one comes to the IQ test instead. So what I found was that the ULSAT test really served families for whom English was a second language, who might not have ever been able to do well on a standardized IQ test because it is so verbal. Those kids had a better chance on this. But for many kids who happen to be very verbal, the inability to express themselves in any sort of verbal way to explain why they chose one of the answers that they chose was very difficult.
That's so interesting because it kind of gets to the point of multiple intelligences.
Mm-hmm.
And kids who are very good at some things, really gifted and talented at some things, may be undervalued compared to kids who are good at certain other kinds of things.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Or, Jay, maybe you'll just have to move to Lake Wobegon, where all the kids are above average.
Well, actually, he's in a Park Slope school, and it's really great. So everything worked out
right, fine
for us. But also they take, you're in a gymnasium, then a proctor comes,
mm-hmm.
a stranger, takes you up to the second floor, and you're dealing with, kids who are maybe 3, in his age, almost 4, not even 4 yet,
right.
And they're taking a stranger takes them up to a room and sits them down and gives them a multiple choice
right, quest. Jay,
right.
All children will be 4 years old this year when they take the test.
At least 4. Julie in Glen Rock, you're on WNYC. Hi, Julie.
Hi, it's actually Glen Ranch.
Sorry.
That's okay. So I was wondering if the kids are going to be tested on a yearly basis, because I remember there was one New York Times article that came out last year, a study showing that children whose intelligence develops later actually become the most brilliant. And I'm thinking like about Einstein, for instance, who, I don't know if this is true, but there are all these stories that he didn't even talk when he was 3 or 4 years old. So I was wondering about that. And I also just have a comment that all this emphasis on testing is good to sort of, I guess, if the tests are good, figure out who's gifted and talented. But if all of that effort went into sort of raising the level of all schools and using the lessons learned from the G&T schools so that all kids
right, would
have an opportunity.
So let me cut you off just because we're running out of time. But Elizabeth Green, did you say they're only going to test kids in kindergarten and first grade? What about the
That's
kinds
my understanding.
Of children she's describing whose intelligence might develop later? Do they have any opportunity to track
well, remember
in
it's
third
only
or fourth
for
grade?
Elementary school. This is only for elementary school programs. So there are opportunities after elementary school to go to different specialized schools in the city. But, right, as far as I understand, it's just kindergarten and first graders right now who take this test.
So Robin, do you believe that that category exists? Children who develop their intelligence later?
Most definitely.
And so what about kids who, you know, maybe are qualified in third or fourth grade, would pass a third or fourth grade equivalent or later?
Right. To tell you the truth, I wasn't at the meeting yesterday, so it wasn't a question, you know, that I was able to ask. But in the past, one was allowed to apply for gifted and talented every year through fifth grade, and then there were middle school options as well. So I don't know enough about whether these two particular measures are only being used for kids applying for kindergarten and first and maybe even second, and whether there's going to be a different measure for those applying for third through fifth, or whether there just isn't going to be the opportunity this year. I don't have the information on that.
Maria in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Maria.
Hi, how are you?
Okay.
I'm just calling because my daughter, when she was in pre-K, took one of the test to get into the gifted and talented program, and she did terribly on it, and I was concerned that she needed remedial help. I was shocked. And since then, she graduated from elementary school. Now she's at NEST. She took the OLSAT test to get into NEST, and she's excelling at NEST. So I would have to say that I wouldn't give a lot of credence to these tests at such an early age. I just don't think that they really are accurate measures of a child's gifted and talentedness.
Maria, thank you very much. And I guess as they implement this new system, you know, we're seeing some of the unanswered questions that are going to come up with kids who seem to be doing really well in school but don't test well, or kids who do really well later on but there's no opportunity for these tests. Definitely some unanswered questions here. Elizabeth Green, last thing. This is an email from a listener who says, who does Joel Klein's PR? What I mean is, why does he feel obligated to trash the kids who are currently in gifted and talented programs by saying 50% of those now in would not get in under the new system? Our son asked us this morning if Klein meant him. Just heartbreaking to have to explain to a 7-year-old that our school leader doesn't think he's dumb.
Wow. There's a bunch of capable people doing his PR, and he believes that he wants to increase equity, so he's committed to making that point.
So last word, Robin, do you think you're going to get a lot of new clients, upper-middle-class clients who can afford you, who suddenly discover that their precious 4-year-olds are not as gifted and talented as they assumed?
And that they have to look for other options?
Yeah.
It's hard to say. I think that parents are just anxious about any changes that take place.
Is it going to drive more upper middle class kids to the private schools?
Well, if there were room in the private schools, it might. But at this point, the private schools have run out of interview spaces because they have more applicants than they can handle. So I think it's a difficult for parents this year on both sides of the equation.
Do you think these tests accurately assess some objective measure of gifted and talentedness, whatever that is, as opposed to having organized parents in a stable home?
I'm not sure what you mean by that question. I think that there is a need to have some sort of uniform measure so that everybody is being assessed by that
so
same
you think
measure.
Whether
these are the best measures or not, I can't really
organized,
say.
You know, maybe educated, maybe with the time to dote on their kids.
Versus the parents. You know, at this point, having parents like that helps get you into the process to know about it and have your child set up for it. I mean, that's why parents come to me. I give them information.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing that I can give them to get their children into these programs.
All right. Robin Arano, founder of School Search NYC, which advises families on public and private schools. Elizabeth Green, reporter for the New York Sun. Thank you both very much.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up in a minute, why the federal government may change the rules on how you get your cable TV service in apartment buildings. Stay with us.